No peeking still. My husband nagged, his hands still over my eyes as he guided me.
How can I peek when your hand is literally over my face? I remarked.
He chuckled. After what felt like forever with him making sure I didn't bump into anything up to that mystery destination, my husband, Jackson, assured me that we were finally there. Thank the Lord. All right, open your eyes, he said as he unveiled his hands from my face. Now that we were here, I felt the rush of excitement again, and a shy yet exuberant grin grew over my face as I slowly opened my eyes. Once they opened, however, they widened tenfold at the sight before me. Wow, I exclaimed. Jackson chuckled. So, did I pick out a good birthday gift or what? He teased. It was truly a sight to behold. An underwater luxury hotel suite, with all the delicacies and comfort a guest could dream of, encased entirely in an underwater tank, with a view to die for at nearly every angle. Undoubtedly, it was a great birthday gift.
Honey, this is amazing, I spoke.
I turned to look at him.
I was just kind of joking when I said bring me to the ocean if you could, you know?
He and the usher who led us to the room with our luggage exchanged laughs.
You should know by now that I take almost everything you say literally, Jackson said, as he stepped my way, towering over me by merely 2 inches.
Aha, I uttered through my smile, and we both leaned in for a kiss. The usher awkwardly rolled our luggage over to the king-sized bed. Really, it looked even bigger than king-sized, and neatly set them to the side.
Happy birthday, Jackson said. Thanks, babe,
I replied, as we both went in for another kiss. Poor Usher, I thought. I knew it must have been awkward for him right about now.
Sorry to break the moment, the gentleman timidly noted. But if you two would like, the kitchen staff has prepared a lovely 4-course lunch, which should be about ready in the next 30 or 40 minutes.
Oh, I uttered. Nice, Jackson followed. What do you think? He asked me. I gave him a crazy look.
Hell yeah,
I replied under my breath, but quite loudly. I noticed the usher.
I mean, clearing my throat. Yes, my husband and I would love to attend.
Changing my whole demeanor. He and I both chuckled like idiot children. That's simply how we were together. Like children. Though when it was time to be adults, I was usually the parent in the relationship. He was a messy eater. I used proper dining etiquette. He needed a haircut. I did it for him. He got bruised up or injured doing God knows what. I fixed him up. He wants to travel to a random city over the weekend. I do all the planning. Except this time, to my surprise. Jackson was smart, very smart, but dumb at the same time. He was like a golden retriever, had lots of energy and charisma, always the center of everyone else's attention, yet he couldn't hold his own to save his life. Very all over the place. In a way, however, that's what I find attractive about him. His zest for life and a childlike curiosity outlasting his years. I liked to have my fun as well, don't get me wrong, but I was more Virgo-like in my ways, even though I'm a Pisces myself. Lunch was held in the hotel's center aquarium, giving us a full view of the ocean around us. Glass surrounded us with a bright blue luminescence as the sun reflected light through the large sea. We were presented with a lovely 4-course meal of seafood selections. Both of us got the seafood chowder as a starter. I got spicy Caribbean shrimp, and he got oysters for appetizers. For the entrees, I got a nice big baked salmon, and Jackson got a huge lobster tail with a side of melted butter and mashed potatoes. It was all delicious, needless to say. And to top it all off, we had carb-packed tall slices of strawberry cheesecake. I could barely get up from the table after we were done. After congratulating the head chef for such a fine meal, Jackson shot the question.
Where are all the fish? He asked. It was one of those things I didn't even think to ask, yet it was so obvious. Where were the fish? I didn't know we were coming here until just a while ago. Had I not seen any pictures from the brochures in our room, I'd think this place didn't have any fish at all. It was a good question.
Ah, the fish, the chef said. They're usually out most of the day, and usually at night they'll obviously be harder to see and go elsewhere. But today must be one of those days where they'll just sort of hide.
Hide? I remarked.
Yes, the chef replied. Mostly from predators, if they're around. But that's strange. There usually aren't any around. There's the sharks, but even still, nothing that's a serious threat to make the others leave.
There's sharks here? Jackson asked in a tone that I couldn't tell if he was either amazed or afraid.
Oh, yes, a couple of them will show up from time to time. No great whites or hammerheads or anything crazy of the sort, but yes, there are a few.
Hmm, Jackson uttered. Well, hopefully they'll turn up soon, I added. We gotta get some pictures, right, babe?
I nudged Jackson at his side, to which he didn't noticeably return much of a reaction.
Hmm, he nodded passively.
Maybe he was starting to get a food coma, too, and needed to lay down.
I know I did. We'd gotten back to the room and did exactly that.
After a pleasant nap, I woke up to the magical view of the suite being illuminated with hidden LED lights outlining the bed, walls, and other pieces of large furniture. The room held a bright gold luminescence along with the now dark blue to almost pitch black abyss of the ocean. I wonder if that was something that could be turned off, or if it just stayed like that. Either way, I wasn't complaining one bit. Jackson woke up not too long after, and I barely saw him shuffle over to the bathroom in a hurry, as I was on my phone with my back turned. Was he sick?
Are you all right?
I called to him.
Yeah,
Jackson replied.
I had a piss.
Oh, well, that makes more sense. With that, I turned on camera mode from my phone and began snapping random pictures and was getting ready to do a panorama shot. I had the lens set at one side of the room, sitting at the edge of the first wide window, then began to drag across the room. I made it past the first window, then past the walls and door to the bathroom occupied by Jackson, then to the other side window, and was about to come around to the end of the last huge display behind me, until I noticed something through the lens. I lowered my phone to get a look with my own eyes, and saw that there was an enormous shadow of space outside the glass. It could have been the lack of sunlight reflecting down on that particular spot, but then, I thought, was it really that dark already? It was only a half till six, so it made sense for the water to be dark, but not that dark. The thing was, it stood out from the rest of the area like a sore thumb. You could still tell apart the ocean floor from other sections of the room, as well as the tiny rocks at the bottom, but over in this particular spot, it was near total blackness. An abnormally large, disquieting contrast in the area around it. Maybe it was just a large rock structure. Like a fjord, maybe. No, those are mountains or something, I think. Then I heard the toilet flush. I waited for Jackson to come back out, but a couple of moments kept passing longer than expected. I was getting suspicious again.
Are you sure you're okay?
I called again.
Yeah,
he answered. It would make sense if he got sick from the food, perhaps. It was seafood, after all. And that, among other recipes, could have tendencies to make anyone's stomach queasy if not properly prepared. But I didn't have any issues so far. We ate nearly the same thing as we picked from each other's plates at the time. I went ahead and gave him another minute, but as more time kept passing and I didn't hear from him, I decided that was it.
Hey, I got a piss too, I announced as I got up and started approaching the door. No response. Then a few seconds later.
Okay.
I heard him respond. Weird, I thought. I slowly turned the knob and opened the door, as to not budge right in. To my confusion, he wasn't in the bathroom anymore at all. Jackson? I called for him. I looked across and saw that there was another door leading to a different room, or closet, perhaps. It was cracked open. I went over and swung open the door to find a nice, tidy, compartmentalized space. The only room that wasn't encased in glass, with Jackson loafing around. It had a nice window seat cushion that extended along the side of the walls of the entire room, and a circular window that simply showed the outside view of the ocean, which was also nearly pitch black as the shadow that cast over near the bedside window from a moment ago. Perhaps I was right. It was just a large boulder or rock structures blocking the lights of those specific sides of the glass. You know, this wouldn't be a bad room to crash in, he said, as he kept aimlessly searching around for something.
I guess not,
I awkwardly replied. It could be a good place to do other things, too. Yeah?
It's kind of a tight space, don't you think?
We've managed with worse.
You know, there's a whole bed back there,
I said, pointing my finger to the door. Yeah. Then his mind trailed off elsewhere, before he looked at me again. I'm done in the bathroom. You said he needed to go? I gave him a certain look.
I lied,
I answered.
You okay?
Why wouldn't I be? He responded, but I knew when he was playing clueless.
You've been acting kind of strange since lunch.
Oh.
I mean, we both know you're strange as it is, but earlier you seemed sort of all right. But now since the sun is starting to come down, I don't even know.
True, he said, still not actually paying attention as he was still searching around the room. I was getting a little fed up.
What are you looking for?
I asked. Something to cover the window with, he said.
Can we get seasick from this?
You know, with us being underwater and everything?
Maybe.
There's nothing but towels and a bunch of useless crap in here. Are there any really big pillows out there in the bedroom? My God, he was acting strange. The obvious question came next.
Why do we need to cover up the window?
I asked. Because I don't want anyone spying on us, he answered.
Really?
Yeah, he said.
We're underwater.
I noticed.
Who's gonna spy on us? The fish? There aren't any.
You don't know. There might be people with submarines or something down there, trying to capture a couple of lovebird guests having a good old time down here to sell on the internet or God knows what.
Okay. One, I'm not screwing you in this room. And two, what is going on with you? You're just acting so weird. What's wrong?
He looked around nervously, biting his lip like a child keeping a dirty little secret. Then he finally fessed up. I have thalassophobia, he guiltily admitted.
What?
Thalassophobia.
What's that?
Fear of the ocean, like deep water, all that stuff that lurks in it, you know? Being stranded at sea, even. I've always been afraid of the water. I tried to work on it, believe me, but no. It's just always been that one thing that I can't get over. I was dumbfounded.
What?
I started, trying to find where to even begin.
You have a fear of the ocean, and you booked us an underwater hotel with literally a 360-degree view of open water?
His face was red. Yeah, he muttered.
Why?
I asked. Because it was for you. It wasn't about me. I wanted you to be happy, and I wanted to get you something nice for your birthday. Something I knew you'd love. It was one of the many sweetest things I'd ever heard him say that I almost forgot how dumb he initially sounded at this moment. I went over to him and gently cupped his face with both of my hands, my back facing the window now, and his facing the door.
Okay, I started. Honey, you don't have to get me anything, though I'm very grateful for all of this. And besides, I still don't want you to be uncomfortable even if I'm not. We're, you know, a marriage, a unity, a team. I wouldn't do something for you if I didn't like it either.
Jackson arched a brow.
Okay, I didn't mean for that to sound as bad as it did. Of course, I'd make sacrifices for you too, but you get my point.
Then I realized he wasn't reacting to what I said at all. He was looking across the room past me towards the glass. "The rock is gone," he whispered.
"What?"
I uttered. I turned to face where he was looking and saw what he meant. The black abyss of space beyond the glass was no longer there, and instead, we saw the faint blue glistening of the evening once again. Strange. It had been black as night a moment ago, I thought. But Jackson said the same thing I was thinking. He, too, thought it was a rock. I looked to him.
"Tell you what, I'll order us some drinks. You pick. And I'll bring them back, and we can just hang out here. Okay?"
His face lit up with excitement again.
"You know you don't have to do that, right? Don't let me ruin your birthday."
"To me, it's ruined if you're not happy."
I'd gotten us room service to order us a tray of varied alcohol beverages, all under his tab, Jackson insisted. Champagne, Moscato, Grey Goose, and a few other cocktails, along with some crackers and cheese to go along. We hung out together in the small, enclosed room, with our backs facing the window, atop a fortress of pillows I pulled from the master bedroom and threw into the other room. I even fulfilled his request to cover the window with other stacks of pillows and whatever else I could find, so he wouldn't have to look outside. We cuddled in the pillow fort we'd made and watched a movie on his phone. Any other person might view this as a complete downer to their vacation, but to me, I actually enjoyed every second of it. We never usually partook in high-end sort of living activities, even with me thoroughly planning and making sure we budgeted down to a T, so they usually ended up in us doing things like this instead, where we much preferred the comfort of doing things the unconventional way, such as sleeping in another room aside from the bed on a stack of pillows. Plus, it made Jackson feel better, and he was usually always braver than me. For once, I saw a true vulnerability in him.
"We've been to the pool and stuff together," I said.
"Yeah," he replied. He drank way more than me. He'd answer anything at this point.
"You didn't seem scared then."
"The pool isn't scary. The ocean is. Remember, though, I couldn't go past 6 feet?" Then I thought about it. He was right. He never went too far to the deep end of any pools he got in.
"Huh,"
I expressed.
"I guess I never noticed until now."
We kept on watching the movie for a couple more seconds before I had the urge to ask more questions.
"What about it scares you the most?"
I asked. He shrugged. "I mean, a lot of things. Like the thought of how deep it is. You never know what could be down there. Here. The feeling of being surrounded by a vast bunch of endlessness and being so small." He shivered with chills. "Yeesh. Screw that."
"Yeah, when you put it that way, that does sound pretty scary."
"No, you love it. You and the ocean have a pact."
"What?"
I smiled. "Admit it. You'd love to be a little mermaid just swimming along in the abyss,
waving at seamen, passing by on their little boats, and just having a grand time.
Oh, shut up,
I laughed. Just floating around with your long red hair collecting seashells, singing under the sea. He was hysterical, and we were both having a good time. At least he was enjoying himself now.
I had to get up and use the bathroom again. After doing so, I decided to go get my phone that I'd left on the charger from the bed. But when I stepped into the room, it was nearly pitch black. I couldn't see a thing.
What happened to the LED lights? Did they automatically turn off by themselves? It'd be weird if they did, though, because it wasn't at our discretion to do it ourselves, and who's to say we still needed the light on or not? I decided to use the bathroom lights by swinging the door wide open to let the rest seep into the room and illuminate. Now I could discern where everything was, if only faintly. I went over to the bedside and pulled my phone from the USB. 100% battery life. Perfect. While I was over there, I also turned on the lamplight perched next to me, and saw that it emitted a bright enough radius to fill the entire corner of the bedroom. Might as well leave it on. Then a thought occurred to me, to check on the vast space I'd spotted earlier through the window. It would be directly in front of me. So I lifted my head to take a look, and to my stupidity, of course, it was indistinguishable now at this time of night. Some hours had passed since I last saw it, making the entire perspective a dark blue tint. Though I loved the ocean and all the creatures that inhabited it, after hearing Jackson's opposing view on the subject, in a weird sense, I was now starting to get what he meant. The vast darkness of the underwater, the endless abyss. I could imagine how terrifying it must be to swim in such a colossal space with no sense of direction, and no other object in sight. No way out. And what made it more frightening, I think, wasn't that the water was pitch black. No. It was the fact that it was nearly complete darkness, but not entirely. You could observe the murkiness of the depths shift from light blue to an uncanny shaded indigo. Were the shadows underneath simply an indication of how far the light could reach from above? Or could it be that something waited patiently down below? Jeez, I could have quite the imagination when I got to thinking too much by myself. I was even getting scared of my own thoughts. But if anything, I could now sympathize with my husband's dread. I turned to walk back to the bathroom door when another thought struck me, stopping me in my tracks. The rock Jackson and I noticed earlier, or at least what we thought was a rock. Wasn't it black? Like, entirely black. Black as night. And we both thought that we were seeing things, where the rock had suddenly moved and we couldn't identify it anymore through the window over the back room. It was hard to say if it was a bad memory or the alcohol, but I could swear. I went over to the telephone next to the bed and decided to call room service again.
Hello?
The female clerk on the other line answered.
Hi, yes. I was just calling because I noticed the lights in our room aren't working anymore. Not the main lights for the lamp and bathroom and stuff, but for LED lights, you know?
Oh, I see. Yes, there's a switch on the wall right next to the thermostat where you can turn them on. It has a knob where you can adjust the brightness, and another one that lets you change the color to whichever one you like.
I shifted my eyes over to where she was referring to and found exactly what she meant. I could have found that if I bothered to look first.
Oh, I see it now,
I laughed.
I guess I'll check and make sure it's on or off.
Okay,
the clerk responded, sounding pleased.
But that's strange. They normally stay on unless, of course, the guests decide to shut them off, or when they automatically shut off at sunrise.
Oh, maybe there was just a short power outage, I suggested, though it was probably unrealistic.
Could be,
the clerk fancied.
But either way, hopefully you and your husband can enjoy the lovely moon from above as well.
I was confused.
Moonlight, I said.
Yes. From where your room should be, it's placed in the perfect spot for the moon to be seen from the top of the glass.
Really?
I replied, very puzzled. I looked up to see if I could maybe notice it through the top.
I don't see any.
At the sight I was now witnessing, I felt every bone, every muscle, every nerve in my body turn cold. There was something on top of the glass. Not just on top, but engulfing the entire tank. Above were the faint details of what I could only imagine was its mouth. It was almost circular, with rows of what looked like razor-sharp teeth getting smaller at the center.
Hello?
The clerk said on the other line. I couldn't move. A sensation more than just fear overcame me. I was petrified. At that moment, I never felt so small. Then, the creature began to shift its entire body away from the glass, sending a near seismic rumble through the suite. I dropped the phone onto the floor, and I followed suit as I got down, raising my arms as an instinctual reaction to try and shield me from whatever was about to happen next, as if that would do anything. I was in the presence of something further up the food chain than myself, further up than any other predator that I knew that walked or swam the face of the earth. As it released its grip from the glass, shapes of monstrous tentacles began to flail about, leaving behind a powerful swooshing noise through the water, along with a resonant sound that the only way I could describe it as is something that couldn't be replicated. Not on this planet. It was deafening, earth-shattering, like something from a different world. It was so alien-like, seeming to come from the thing itself. So powerful, even more so than the roar of an earthquake, I'd imagine. It was truly one of the loudest sounds I'd ever heard. Suddenly, pure blackness no longer surrounded the view, as shades of the natural lighting of the ocean floor began to form again, and instantaneously, a white glow emitted from the glass ceiling. There it was. The moon. It had been there the whole time. And so had this thing. It had been covering the perimeter to where I couldn't see it. As the creature rose higher away from my view, I was starting to get an even better look at its size. I still couldn't even grasp its entire shape. It was huge, a behemoth of an unknown force lurking down here, waiting to be discovered. I was amazed. Astonished, even, but not in a positive manner. The same sensation kept overtaking me as I began to curl up into a ball next to the bed, the sensation that I'd never felt so small. I planned on staying there and hiding under the bed until it was gone. Then, I'd be safe. But Jackson... I got up and immediately ran towards the bathroom and over into the other room, shutting the door behind me. He was sitting, lying against the pillows, watching the movie on his phone, not noticing a thing about what lies beyond the glass. I couldn't have been the only one to hear it, I thought.
Jackson,
I panicked. He looked at me, concerned. What's wrong? He asked. I guess he didn't hear what I did after all. But I couldn't tell him, I thought. I was already scared as it was. But telling him might be catastrophic, and he'd never want to leave this room.
I
stammered. I saw something. It just came out. What was I supposed to do? Lie?
What?
He said, now growing as nervous as I was. Christ, why did I do that?
There was something outside the glass.
Then I realized I hadn't told him the whole truth.
A shark or something. Like a big shark.
I lied. Jackson arched his brow, like he always did when he thought I was crazy.
Are you pranking me?
He asked. His whole demeanor changed from worried to a perky suspicion. I was dumbfounded.
What?
I said, still in a state of clear panic.
I thought you loved sharks. Go play with your new friend,
he joked. Without a doubt, the alcohol took the edge off of him from earlier, but he had no idea just how serious I was. Maybe that was a good thing, but right now, I needed both of us to leave this room as soon as possible. I kneeled in front of him, looking him in the eye.
Listen, I don't want to be here right now. I'm getting claustrophobic.
I lied.
Let's just go in one of those lounges and hang out there for a bit while there's no open water outside to look at, okay?
He still wasn't buying it. I'd be skeptical, too, if I were him. I never expressed fear of any sort in regards to the ocean. Even all the scariest creatures he feared that swam in the sea, I took a liking to. But not that thing. Not that thing that waited outside. Your acting never fails to impress me, dear.
Jackson!
I snapped. He turned straight-faced again. I never snapped at him like that before. He knew I was serious this time.
You're serious, he said.
I nodded.
Just put on your pants and let's go,
I insisted.
I'll cover your eyes so you don't have to see out there when we cross the room.
Okay. He got up and started to put his pants on. By the way, he stated, did you hear something a minute ago, or was it just the movie?
Hear what?
I asked, a noticeable fear in my voice. Well, I don't know. I thought I heard something, like a loud rumbling noise. Thought it came from the movie, but then I was like, there's no way, because... We both felt it rumble down in our feet and up to our ribcage, and stared at each other for a moment. Aware of precisely the same thing now, Jackson whispered under his breath.
Honey, what was that?
Suddenly, the rumble sounded again, and was followed by both of us losing balance on both of our feet, and we began to stumble. We struggled to hold on to each other while simultaneously trying to grab onto the wall for support. Jackson managed to clutch one of the beams sitting atop the wall, and his strength alone was enough to hold both of us. I held onto him for dear life as the suite kept violently shaking. His back was to the window, and my arms hooked around him for balance. But I could see ahead that the barricade of pillows we'd put up on the window had now fallen, leaving the glass open for a full display of the outside. And to my confusion, I couldn't see anything beyond it. It wasn't a dark blue or black tint this time, but instead, a bright yellowish shade that now covered the window. The rumbling had now stopped, and it was as quiet as a mouse.
Are you okay?
Jackson asked. I didn't say anything. I was too fixated on the window. Why was it that color? It's like we shifted into a different environment altogether. Like a whole new backdrop.
That's definitely not a shark, he remarked. What the hell?
I muttered. He turned to what I was perceiving and shared the same confusion. It was a strange sight indeed. Then we saw a black circle shift from nowhere and down into different corners of the circular window. The direction of the circle bounced randomly from corner to corner, until finally sitting dead center on the glass, facing us. I felt a sick sensation in my gut, and Jackson's jaw dropped in terror at the realization of what we were both now seeing. It was an eye, and it saw us. The sound rumbled the whole area again.
Go, go,
Jackson shouted, trying to lead us both out of the room, and we did just that. We'd crossed into the bathroom when the lights cut out. There was darkness again. We were blinds to the lack of light as we both tripped into each other, him almost completely knocking me down.
I grabbed onto what I could only guess was the sink, as Jackson quickly grabbed me to keep me from falling. "You okay?" he said.
"Yeah."
"What the hell is that thing?" His voice trembled.
"I don't know,"
I cried. We needed to get ahead into the room and out into the main lobby and let someone know what was going on. But the lamp I'd left on in the bedroom ahead was out too. Otherwise, there'd be some lighted path for us to distinguish. It was pure darkness. The only faint light, if any, came from the dark hue of the water surrounding us. I pulled out my phone and turned on the flashlight to lead us.
"Come on,"
I demanded. Jackson followed closely behind with his arms still over me for protection. Though, I'm sure it was more for him than it was for me. I could only imagine. We raced through the bedroom and for the door in a matter of seconds. But in that time, we caught a glimpse of the outside. It was a nightmare. Just an endless void of murky, dark water that appeared to stretch for an eternity. We were two small, meaningless creatures in the center of the vast universe. When we got to the door, I turned the knob and pulled back without hesitation as Jackson reached over and helped by yanking it back into the wall, and we both bolted out of there. In the halls, the lights were out as well. No source of illumination anywhere, except the faint moonlight protruding the ocean's horizon. Like the suite, the halls were made entirely of glass, like a giant walking tube to behold the ocean life exterior.
"Which way is it?"
I anxiously asked.
"Here,"
Jackson said, pointing down to the left corridor. He and I made our way down to the halls, but slowly this time. Something outside caught our eye. Indescribable. Countless dark silhouettes of fish. Hundreds of them. The ones that had been gone earlier were now all here for us to see beyond the glass. However, something was wrong. The way in which they swarmed didn't align in a fluid horizontal motion. Some of their bodies were positioned diagonally, vertically, and in a strange sense seemed to be floating rather than swimming. Then the realization hit me. They weren't swimming at all. They were dead. Lifeless, drifting in the water down to us.
"Jesus,"
Jackson gasped.
"Let's just keep moving,"
I said, trying to be brave. Then, to our left, the creature emerged from below, its massive tentacles and fins rising into view, its bright yellow eyes glaring into us. The hall began to shake as the earth-shattering rumble sounded throughout the structure. Without hesitation, the two of us raced down the hall to reach the next corridor that would eventually get us to the lobby. We just needed to make it, where that thing could no longer see us. All throughout the long glass tube, it followed from the outside, but not like a predator chasing its prey, but in an unsettling, forbearing nature, as if it knows its place in the animal kingdom hierarchy. We were no longer challenged for it. It wanted to taunt us. It knew. We'd managed to run down to the lobby, and thankfully, one of the clerks was still there at the counter, likely the one I'd spoken to earlier on the phone. The woman saw us in a state of panic and immediately stood up to ask what was the matter. We told her of the creature that was terrorizing us, to which she was understandably struck by. We even told her about the fish we'd seen that were now regurgitated from the monster. It was hard to say if she bought our story or not, but based on her facial expressions, she innately knew we were dead serious. The two of us refused to spend another night in that room. We asked if there were any other rooms available that didn't involve any windows of any sort, or, better yet, any that were at the surface. But truly, Jackson and I both wanted to get the hell out of this place. A couple of hotel staff offered to take our belongings out of the room and personally hand them over to us in the main lobby. as the clerk informed us that there was a vacancy in the only other room available at the top above the water, on top of the fact that neither one of us agreed to enter that hellish fishbowl again. In our new, more relaxing suites on the surface of the land, it had taken a while for either one of us to fall back asleep. Jackson, in the shock of it all, and for good reason, had taken it harder than me. I lied there with him in bed, and stayed until he felt comfortable to drift off. At some point in the night, I'd gotten up to peer out the window, which gave a view of the ocean's horizon under the moon. Any other day, I'd find the sights to be an ethereal beauty, not one to literally die for. What was supposed to have been a beautiful day for the two of us, at the expense of Jackson going out of his way to try and make me happy, was now ruined by the untethered force of nature that resides beneath. I began to quietly sob, as not to wake Jackson from his slumber, my vision becoming blurred from the muddiness of tears. But as I looked down again at the ocean below, I could sense that somewhere in my line of sight, it waited, and with a startling revelation that haunted me from when we first looked the creature in its eye, there was an undeniable fact that it knew. It knew.